in all, for all, over all. To Him be the glory. Colossians 1:15. Paul, speaking of Christ, says, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Amen. Christ preeminence. Today is the second part of what we began to look at last week, the second part of verse 20. Depending on which translation, the King James speaks of peace at the beginning. Many of the newer translations translate it to have the peace at the end. But the two main themes in verse 20 are Jesus Christ made or accomplished peace and reconciliation. Those are the two great truths, the two bookends, the two realities of the full work of Jesus Christ. Last week, Jesus Christ made peace, our peace with God. Through Jesus Christ and through Christ alone, in the history of the world and forever, as long as men live, Christ alone accomplishes or obtains peace with God for us. Our enmity with God is gone. We're no longer at war with God. If you're not a Christian today, you're at war with God. Second, our hatred towards God is gone. If you're in Christ, you no longer hate God. You love Him. You serve Him. Third, our rebellion with God is gone. Christ made peace. We're no longer rebels, resistant against Christ, His Word, His people. And fourth, separation is gone. We're joined. We're with Him. He's with us. I am my beloved's and He is mine. Jesus Christ reconciles us to God, brings us to God. That's where we're going today. We are not separated anymore. Amen. We could sing some more, couldn't we? I hope that you've spent some time this past week meditating on this truth. Christ made peace. He is our peace. Men today all over the world are striving and working towards peace that they'll never obtain because they're outside of Jesus Christ. It could be with a friend or it could be with another nation. Christ alone brings peace. But Paul also says extensively that Jesus Christ reconciles. He reconciles. In the context here, He reconciles all things. We're going to get into that today. But He reconciles us. When we were sinners, Christ paid the price, the atonement that Lee's been dealing with on penal substitution, wonderful truths. The central part of the gospel, Christ atones and He reconciles us to God. It's not just a partial, temporary reconciliation. It is a full, forever reconciliation. But Paul deals with it in this massive way. Reconciliation, what comes to your mind? You know, last week I paused and said, when you think of peace, what comes to your mind? You may be in a troubled relationship in these days, and you need reconciliation. So what comes to your mind when you hear this word? I think of things like this. I think of a friendship that was really strained, maybe apart, seemingly irreparable. And by grace and by help in many ways, a friendship is healed. Two friends come back together. I've been through things like that in different times and seasons in my life. Or you might think of reconciliation as a business relationship that has been worked out. There was difficulty. There was even maybe perhaps legal action that could have occurred, meaning lawsuit. And yet it was worked through and it's been reconciled and the relationship now, in a business sense, has been restored. That is a type of reconciliation. Or you may think of marriage. We think of it often when we think of relationships that need to be reconciled, made right. One of the saddest home visits I've ever made, and I hope I never have another one like this ever again in my life, is in years ago when Baker Hughes and I went to a family, a couple in a family's home in a desperate situation, and it was pitiful. Pitiful. Reconciliation was needed at every level. The husband to the wife, the parents to the children to each other. It was desperate. It was so sad. Reconciliation is real, and it is needed, and Jesus Christ accomplishes that for us. By definition, reconciliation means, quote, to renew a relationship that's broken by a grievous offense. Offense. Somebody's been offended. Something has happened. Something, it seems to be irreparable. Today when Lee was reading through those New Testament verses, boom, 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 one after another, he got to Romans where Paul said, Jesus Christ was lifted up or offered up for our offense, is how the King James reads. For our offenses. Somebody has committed an offense. I think we have found the somebody's. Us. Reconciliation means a relationship has to be restored, and we are the offenders. Men all throughout the world are the offenders against the Almighty. Undeniable. It's the truth of the Scriptures. It's the truth of looking at humanity. Look at the evil done today. Look at the sin in man. And yet, reconciliation is offered, and it's real, and it's forever through Christ. Relationship to God. This brings us to what Paul is speaking of here. Man is the offender. God is the one offended. Christ alone does it. He makes reconciliation for us. Years ago, I heard John MacArthur say that he no longer asks people if they are Christians, because most people in America will say, yes, I am. It's just a thorough misunderstanding of what it even means to be a Christian. He that's a Christian is a new creation. He that is a Christian walks with God. He that's a Christian loves the things of God. But by their works, they prove that they're wrong. So Mark MacArthur doesn't ask him anymore, are you a Christian? You know what he asks him? Are you reconciled to God? What a question. That's the question. If you're in the room today and you hear me, are you reconciled to God? You're either in one place or another. You're either an enemy, you're not right with God, or you, by the blood of Jesus Christ, have been brought nigh. You've been brought to Him. And you're in true relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the question. Are you reconciled to God? So this truth today, in this verse, and it's all within the bigger story or the bigger statement about the preeminence of Jesus Christ, is He reconciles. He's accomplished something fully, thoroughly. It is massive. Here, in this context, it is in its most, perhaps most massive statement, because He's talking about all things. All things. He's reconciled all things. Not just talking about Jeff and Philip and others. He's talking about all things in heaven and earth. This is tough sledding here. This is big, big truth, big theology here. By the grace of God, I'm going to do my best I can to try to help us see more of it. Some men call this, verse 20, Paul speaks of cosmic reconciliation or cosmic restoration, meaning the scale, the scope, the extent of what Christ has accomplished in reconciling all things is incredible. In other words, it's bigger than just you individually. It's all things. So we're going to try to understand more of these all things. If Jesus Christ has reconciled all things in earth and in heaven, what is this? When we get to verse 21, He's going to talk about you and you. This is what you were. He reconciled you, you, and you, those that are in Christ. But today, what does He mean? What is Paul saying about this preeminence of Jesus Christ that He reconciles all things? Let's try to get hold of this today. Beloved, consider this. It pleased God the Father to reconcile all things through His Son, God the Son, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. The Father and the Son and the Spirit, in perfect harmony and unity, were pleased to reconcile all things in the earth and in heaven. Holy. To accomplish a reconciliation unknown to mankind ever before or ever hereafter. Yes, the all things can be difficult to understand. But it's glorious. A man named Davenant, John Davenant, hundreds of years ago said this. Men torture this scripture. And then are in return are tortured by it. Meaning men butcher, mishandle, wrongly appropriate, don't view this scripture accurately, and it turns around and crushes them. What do I mean by that? Men today in America and other countries will speak certain things that this passage must be telling us. That means that everybody will be saved. It means all demons will be restored to God, or things like that. Bizarre, heretical lies, misrepresentations of God's scripture. Yes, Christ reconciled all things, and he says here, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, what is the scope of this? Have you ever gotten to this part of Colossians and just paused and said, wow, I want to know more what this means? Sometimes the best way to come into these digging and mining and asking the Holy Spirit to give light, sometimes the best way to understand it is to understand through other scripture what it clearly is not saying. Okay, let's start there. Let me hit three things clearly so we can... I'm going to deal with these just quickly because there are writers in history who make these bizarre cases, heretical cases, about certain things that it must be saying. The rest of Scripture just clearly takes those out. There's no way. Number one, what it is not. If Christ reconciled all things in earth or in heaven, it is not this. It's not all mankind forevermore. The Pharaohs and the Herods and the Nebuchadnezzars, and the evil men in our country, and people today, and the people that are not in Jesus Christ at any level, 7-year-olds and 97-year-olds, not in Jesus Christ, will be lost forever. It's not all mankind. He's not reconciled all things in all time periods in all humanity. That is not what it's saying. I don't really need to say it, right? We understand that from Scripture. But there are liars and deceivers today in this metroplex who will stand at podiums and tell people that. And you know what it tells them? Sin is no big deal. Just keep sinning. Why do we have atonement? Why do we have penal substitution? Why do we have a lamb slain before the foundation of the world? Why do we have the law of God? Because God must be satisfied, and His Son did that. But to say that all men are reconciled is a blatant lie. It's a lie. It is a misrepresentation and a destruction of biblical truth, denial, perversion of biblical truth. So it's not all mankind. Unredeemed men are lost. Jesus Christ in the New Testament, in the Gospels, is clear. It is not that. Come to Him that you might have life. Remember in the parable of the sheep and the goats? And these shall go away into what? Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Number two, what it is not. I'm going to move on these quickly. Jesus Christ reconciled all things, but it's not talking about heavenly angels in heaven. Things in earth, things in heaven. Why would heavenly angels need to be reconciled? Where is their offense with God? Do they have sin? No. They're holy vessels or instruments of God. Angels. Throughout Scripture, we see different pictures, different names of angels. They don't have to be reconciled to God. They're not at odds with God. Men will tell you that this text is talking about all angels had to be reconciled to God. That's an incorrect statement. Angels are not separated from God. They do His will. They speak His word. They represent Him. The angel that appeared to Mary and said that she was going to have the Christ child spoke perfectly what God had and lived in harmony with God. The angels in heaven, beloved, don't have to be reconciled to God. Okay? Number three, what it is not. It is not Satan and the fallen angels or demonic hosts, if you want to say that. Can you imagine that men look at people today and say that they believe this? and they tell people that eventually the full atoning work of Christ will save Satan and his host of evil spirits and demons. It's unbelievable how much men have been blinded in what they will say. Satan and his host of demons will be thrown into the lake of fire. It's inevitable. It's coming. Christ has conquered. He made a show of them openly, it says here in Colossians, having triumphed over them. The book of Revelation is clear. They will be cast out forever. It's not. It's not a reconciliation that takes care of all men forever. It's not that. It's not a reconciliation that has to reconcile angels who are already perfectly in union with God or perfectly His messengers. And third, it's not a reconciliation that redeems Satan and his host of evil. Never, ever listen to anybody who ever tells you that. I feel like just to be faithful as a shepherd, I have to say these things so that we don't misrepresent or misunderstand. Enough on that. What is it? What is it? What does it mean that Jesus Christ reconciled all things in earth and in heaven? First, it means that Christ reconciled men to the living God. It says to himself, but you'll see different thoughts. Is this himself to Christ or to Christ and his Father? It's ultimately to the Father. He came to reconcile fallen man to the Father. Bring them back into relationship, peaceful, perfect relationship with him. Since the fall of man, the fall of Adam, all men have lived in conflict. And I went over this last week. They've lived in conflict with God. Hating, rebelling, against, resisting. So men, first and foremost, if Christ reconciled all things in earth and heaven, he reconciled a humanity, a people, a bride unto God. Clearly, he's called out an assembly. We are true Israel. Israel, we are the true people of God who worship him in spirit and truth, have reconciliation, a renewal of the heart, a new heart. That's a bride, a people to himself. No question. Men today, right now, hopefully, even in this room, will be reconciled to God. The Holy Spirit will work, and they will be brought into harmony. They're men in the earth. Our Father is in heaven, right? There's this reconciling happening. This is the big truth about humanity, the atonement, making peace with God. I love this statement. To be reconciled to God means you have been brought into a relationship of love and favor to the living God. Love and favor. You could add more. Peace. Friendship. And on and on. A union. A union has been made. Christ reconciled lost human beings to the Father who's in heaven. Once for all, he's brought us into this relationship. I had one wedding ceremony. One. In this town in the summer of 1980. That's when my wife and I were joined. We were joined. We were brought together. There's a union. And when we are reconciled in Jesus Christ, whether it be 10 years ago or 2 weeks ago, you are in him, in Christ, and therefore reconciled to the Father. He brings us to the Father. Let me read some passages. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Christian life is a new birth. It's a miracle. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You see the new birth, the new life, the being turned from death to life, the reality of Christ saving us, is the reconciliation of us to God. It's a part of the whole new birth, the new life. We become sons of God. He hath reconciled us to himself. Just let these truths come with fresh joy, thankfulness, awesomeness, awe, reality. Christian is the most reconciled or joyful, peaceful person in the earth. They should be. They have a Savior of reconciliation. They're right with God. They have the Spirit of God with them. And they should be the peacemakers in the earth, right? They should be the ones reconciling, helping others. because they have a Savior who has perfectly done that for them. So men are reconciled to God. You see this? This is this relationship, men in the earth, our God and our Father, which art in heaven. Hebrews chapter 2, I think is probably one of Tom's favorite verses. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto us, or made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God. Next statement, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus Christ, it said, made like his brethren, came in the fashion of a man, came as a man. He was a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Is that not the picture of the Old Testament sacrifices? Penal substitution, which Lee has been going through in the Old Testament, is constantly pointing to Jesus Christ. Anybody that simply stays in the Old Testament is missing the greater reality. The Old Testament speaks or looks forward to the New Testament and Christ. He is a faithful, merciful high priest, and he makes reconciliations for the people, us, children today. Christ will reconcile you to God. Repent, believe, turn to him. So you see, we are reconciled to God. Peace is made. Relationship is joined. Eternal sonship is accomplished. We have been brought to God. There is now true harmony. Men are reconciled to God. That's the theme here. What is Paul talking about? Things in heaven, things in earth. Let's step back even further. I appreciated a little while ago when Lee said sometimes you need to step even further back to try to see the broader scope or the broader truth. The book of Romans, the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of Hebrews. What is the essence of it? What's the essence of all things here? Men are made right with God. Okay, that's one aspect of it. Men and God. But let's remember, Paul has been speaking back in verse 18 when he keeps using this all things, all things, all things. Christ is the one spoken about in verse 18 with his church. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, meaning all things pertaining to the church, that he would have the preeminence. So, it is fair and it's accurate to say that the all things that have been reconciled is the bride here and the bride there. That's an aspect that's true here. God has Christians that have already gone before us, right? You may have family members or a friend. You may have been into a funeral in the last 10 days of a brother or sister in Christ. He's reconciled all of the redeemed. Christ did this. So all things can and would include Christians that are already in heaven. Different men will emphasize this at different levels, but it's a truth. They, the full gathering of the people of God, they wait for us to ultimately join them. It's essentially what it says right at the end of Hebrews 11, right? The full gathering in of the bride. The marriage supper of the Lamb of God has not occurred yet. We're going to get there. It's going to happen. But the full gathering together of God's people in earth and in heaven is yet to be fully completed. But yet, Christ has reconciled them. They are his people. They are God's children. Some are there, some are here. They constitute one people, totally united, totally reconciled once for all. Paul the Apostle is not more reconciled other than he's there, but he's not in his relationship ultimately to God. Paul is not more reconciled to God than John MacArthur or Ian Murray or Jeffrey Thomas or Mac Tomlinson. They are now sons, here or there. It's phenomenal, isn't it? The redeemed people of God. We're talking about what is all things, men to God. Here, men there. And, hang on to this. Therefore, if men, you and I, if all Christians have been reconciled to God, they are therefore in harmony with God's holy angels. There is a certain harmony. There's a peace. The angels are for us. They're not against us. Stay with me. This is deep, the reality of this. If we've been reconciled to God, then God's messengers we are right with. The angels of the Almighty encamp around God's people. They're messengers of grace. They guide us. They keep us. Have you ever been through an event and you said, there's no question God just protected me from something? Last year, about this time, I can't remember exactly when it was, we were driving. Krista and I and Jesse, we were on our way. And I thought about it. I was going down that same road. And in a flash of a moment, a car came out. We thought for sure we were going to get hit. I've reanalyzed and realized no way that my brain can react quick enough to do what happened. And it just kind of, you know, it breaks down that it's happening in slow motion, right? And it's as though God, in His mercy, just pushed my car. My car maneuvered in a certain way because the car really essentially never saw us. Should have just hammered the side that Krista was sitting on. For all I know, that was the angels of God. The angels of God are real. They're active. They're His messengers. And we, in our reconciliation to God, are right with them. They're not against us. Phenomenal truth. The angels haven't needed to be reconciled, but we are in right standing to them. We will worship with the angels, the Almighty, forever. We're in harmony with them. When God cast out Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, what did He do? He sent them out to the east. What did He do with the Garden of Eden? He put an angel there with swords. What's the sign there, if you want to try to think more deeply the picture? The sign is sinful men have God's messengers who guard, who deal with them. Various places in the Scriptures we see God's messengers. But the greater truth, beloved, is if we have been reconciled to God, man has been made right with God, then we here and those saints in heaven are reconciled. We're all one. And even our relationship to the celestial beings, the glorious angels, all that they're about, all that they are for God, we're a part of the great family of the redeemed and the people of God and the elect angels that worship Him and serve Him. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? We're talking about a reconciliation that's cosmic, truly big, awesome. We're joined together. So first, Jesus Christ has reconciled all things. First, man, us, we've been reconciled to God. Second, because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, men are reconciled to men. This is so glorious. Not only are we right with God, that He's saved us, He's given us a new heart, He's made us new creations, that He's leading us, with us, guiding us, He's reconciled us to other mankind. This is where the United Nations just needs to shut off all the language translators, right, Jason? Shut them all off and let one language speak. Jesus Christ makes men to live at peace with other men. He reconciles all things. Stay with me. We're talking about the scope of this is so big. If Christ is preeminent and all that He's accomplished, He's made the relationship between men right. Here, now. They're fine there. They all get along. But here, since the fall of Adam, men have been in constant conflict with each other. Hatred, killing. I didn't look it up. I didn't really even want to. But in this time of our worship today, there'll be a certain average of how many human beings will be killed across the earth today because of men are in sin and hate each other and they strive and they kill and cheat each other. Right now. Because men are fallen, they're sinners. Right there is a proclamation that all men need to be reconciled to God. But when Christ came, He reconciles man to man. The conflicts are so real, so undeniable. What happened in Genesis, not long after they were Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, it's not just but a few pages, if that. And what happens with their sons, Cain and Abel? Children, you remember what happened with Cain and Abel? They were just best of buddies forever, weren't they? No. Cain rose up and killed Abel. Sin. Sin. So there's constant conflict. Men have to be right with each other. Only Christ can do this. That's why in marriages or friendships or business, in the ultimate sense, reconciliation cannot really come in fullness unless Christ is the one doing it. It's profound, the reality of that. What about Israel? In the Old Testament, God's people or God's called out geopolitical nation, this people. Israel didn't get along with everybody, did they? Constant warfare. What is my bigger truth? If Christ reconciles all things, Christ reconciles man-to-man relationships. Israel was hated. They're still hated today. They're just a geopolitical nation. They're just a geography area. And still they're hated today. Phenomenal. Americans are hated. There are people across the world that would love to come in here and blow this building up. They would think they're doing their God service. Little g. How can we be reconciled? How can you be reconciled to others? Christ, He does it. Think about the New Testament, the Jews and the Gentiles. Hatred, right? Hatred. There's just striving, the Jews and the Gentiles. We don't have anything to do with those people. It's all over America. There's nothing new. The racial strife and hatred and killings and abuse that happens in America, it's the ongoing warfare of man. Because they're not right with God and they're not right with each other. If you have hatred in your heart against somebody today, you ought to ask yourself, am I really a Christian? Jesus Christ does not produce people of hate. He reconciles us to God. He triumphs over sin. He gives us a new heart. And we walk in righteousness and peace. And we walk in love. The great, great virtue in the New Testament. The God of love, the Savior of love. So we are reconciled to one another. Enmity has been removed. Conflict has been dealt with. Harsh words have been changed. Hatred is taken away. Discontent, contempt, whatever. Acts chapter 9, Jeff. Jeff's been a man who's loved the book of Acts. I think of him often because he's read it, studied it, really worked through it in detail. In the book of Acts chapter 9 is when Saul, who was changed, God changed his name to Paul, he was converted right on the road to Damascus. Stay with me here. Paul, the bright light, Christ speaks to him, he's blinded. Right? We remember that. I might have even touched on this. I can't remember if I touched on it a little bit last week. But in the same time and days that are occurring, there was a righteous man, a disciple, it says, named Ananias. Ananias is a man who's in Christ. God speaks to him in a vision, and he says to Ananias, Ananias, I want you to go and to see Saul. I want you to go and put your hands on him. He's going to receive his sight. You remember what Ananias said to the God, his God? Lord, I've heard about this man. It says in the text, this man, I'm reading from King James, this man has done much evil to thy people, to your saints. That's what Ananias says to God, as though God didn't already know that. What does the Lord tell him to do? Go. Go. Go to him. What does he do? Ananias goes to see Saul. It'd be a pretty awesome thing, wouldn't it? This is the man, the leading man, that hated Christians in the earth, was out to destroy him. There are ISIS leaders today that perhaps godly men will be sent to get to them and speak to them. You never know, brothers and sisters, what God's going to do. He saves the worst of sinners. William Booth said, go for sinners and go for the worst. That's what he said, the man that founded the Salvation Army. The gospel is for all men. All men need to be reconciled to God. And so he says to Ananias, go. I don't think I've ever fully absorbed this. Look in the scriptures at verse 17, I think it is, of chapter 9 of Acts. What are the first two words that Ananias says to what's now going to be the Apostle Paul? Anybody have that handy? Brother Saul. How in the world could Ananias go to him and say that? The relationship was changed. Jesus Christ has reconciled all things to Himself, right? He's reconciled us to God and man to man. How could Ananias say that to Saul? Because Saul's a new creation. Saul's been born of God. Saul now is God's servant. He's right with Him. Amazing, isn't it? Just amazing. Well, I'm talking about the scope, the fullness of the reconciliation of Jesus Christ. Through Him, total, full restoration and reconciliation is made. We are truly united. The church is to be a body of united people. We are. That's what Christ has accomplished. That's why the Apostle Paul, in so many of his letters, is writing to Christians, maintain unity, preserve love, preserve closeness, serve one another, love one another, pray for one another, bear each other's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ, walk like He did. That's who you are. Walk in it. Jesus Christ reconciles man to man, Ananias to Paul. Phenomenal, isn't it? At this point, if the United Nations group begins to raise their hand, I got to ask a question or two. You're talking about Jesus Christ can take away wars? Yeah, He can. He does it at the individual level. He can do it between peoples. You're talking about Jesus Christ solves hatred? Yeah, He reconciles man to man. And you're talking about Jesus Christ can take care of contempt? Yes. That's why there's no marriage beyond the healing mercy of Jesus Christ. There's no friendship. There's no relationship that He can't restore because His reconciliation is full, beautiful, glorious, all-encompassing. We're right with God. We can be right with other men. That's why He tells us to love all men. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Rejoice that you're even counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. The glory of God goes forth because who can do that? Who can give man a new heart and make him right, not only with the living God, that's the preeminent thing, right? That's the chief thing, but right with the other men? Last week I talked about Brunton the mate that was on the ship in the 1800s with Hudson Taylor and them. They set out from England to go back to China. Brunton the mate was that evil man, sailor. He was a sailor and he was rough and he was a bully. The 17 Christians, we'll call them that loosely because they were children, but that group was despised by him. And I told you a little bit about the story, and Hudson Taylor went that night and sat with him and he was converted. He went from death to life. Brunton the mate. Apostle Paul had nothing on Brunton. We had nothing on Brunton, right? We were haters, enemies of God. But he went from hating Christians. Here's my point. Brunton the mate went from hating those 17 to seeing them as the most precious people in all the earth. He loved them. This is a miracle. You don't go to get a counselor to do this for you. You don't get medication to do this for you. You don't go to a seminar to get this for you. You don't get reconciled in your marriage by some little, breakthrough idea. Christ does it. He's the reconciler. He does it. And therefore, Brunton the mate, in one night, immediately the next day, the man they hated, they were afraid of, that he bullied, that very man, the next morning, loved those people. I told you, they were even in shock. He began to change his physical appearance. Grace just softened him. Tell that to the college students that are living in misery. They need that. They need to come to him, come and have life. The gospel of Brunton the mate. It was changed from death to life. He went from hating them to loving them as true brothers and sisters in Christ. Saints, we're talking about a reconciliation that's us to God. We have peace with God. We have a right standing with God. We're a part of the eternal body of Christ here in the earth and there. We're right with the angels because they're for us. They're not against us. They watch over us. And we're right with each other. John Daly said this, Christ removed all the marks and the differences. And Christ united those from all nations, from all sects, from all conditions into one people, into one body, namely His church. Thus things on earth were reconciled. You can't have a church, can't have a called out assembly, you can't have a bride of Christ without reconciliation. That's why it's the only living spiritual or religious organization that will last forever. Because Christ has reconciled it. It's His people. It's not the systems of men. You can't put your confidence in Jeff and Lee and Mac and Philip or any other man. We're not the ones that shepherd the flock. Ultimately, it's Christ. He feeds you. He watches you. He loves you. He sheds abroad His love in your heart. He warns you. He grows you. He keeps you. He does that for me. So we have now been joined together as one people in one body, His church. Therefore, yes, things on earth were reconciled too. One more. Number three, if Christ, number one, Christ reconciles us to God, man to God, second, man to man. Third, this is lofty, big, but it means that Christ also has brought the whole creation back into a restored relationship to God. And this is massive. It's in a sense, it's not as directly spoken about in multiple letters in the New Testament, but the earth groans. We're going to get to the Romans passage. All that God created, when man fell, when Adam sinned and was cast out of the garden, this world was affected. This is deep. You've got to do some other reading. I don't think it's the central truth that I needed to camp out on today. But in my reading, it's amazing the depth of this. We're talking about the created order, the created world. When man sinned, this world fell into a certain amount of chaos or ruin because of the sin of man. Adam didn't deal with thorns that we know of. Adam didn't deal with weeds and troubled insects. I'm talking about in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, everything, as Sam Storm said, was pristine beauty. And then sin horribly marred this. So Jesus Christ reconciles all things. He's even had, through His redeeming work, His atonement, He's affected the world in total that's His anyway. You remember I said that men oftentimes call this, verse 20, a cosmic restoration? Men to God, men with other saints in heaven, the angels to mankind, man to man, and the world, the created world, the cosmos, truly have been changed. A redemptive impact has been made on the world. When Adam sinned, the unity and the harmony of the original creation suffered a devastating rupture. You get the picture of this? The classic text is Paul from Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read it out of the ESV. You can turn there if you want. Pick it up. I'm in about verse 20. I'll pick it up in the statement where he says, for the creation, listen to this, the creation, all that's been created, was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You hear this? Christ impacted the world. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Our full, completed, redemptive finish, ending, is yet to come. Christ, He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. There's something that awaits us, the full glorification, finality of our redemption. And the world is a part of that. Now, I can't get into the layers and depths of this. It's so awesome. But when man sinned, it affected all the order of things God had made. And therefore, from then on, the strife and struggles and hatred and on and on and on and on was occurring. Mankind had to be reconciled back to God. Man had to be reconciled to one another. And man, in the world that he was in, the world had to be restored or had to have an impact on it because of the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. And it did. It doesn't mean that there's still not thorns and pestilence and things in the earth. It means that the full work of Jesus Christ was in everything, in every sphere of the world. It's in everything. It changed everything. I heard years ago someone say, the writing or some of the principles of our Constitution are simply based on the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. Now you've got to think deeply if you're going to get there. Right? There are truths. There are certain statements about mankind and mankind's responsibility to each other that are rooted in a redeeming love of Jesus Christ. How they live, how they should relate. Why should the unborn be let to live? Why? Because they're made in their Creator's image and He made them. They're His. They ought to be able to have life. It's not men's decision to destroy human beings like that. It never will be their decision. It's wrong at the core level. But the redeeming love of God covers that and shows us that reality. All is His. Today and forever. Yes, saints. Through Jesus Christ and His atonement, the universe is restored to its proper relationship to God. It groans for its final completion. The saints in the earth groan for our final redemption that's coming. Quite a phenomenal truth. I asked just a little bit ago, what do you think of when you think of reconciliation? Think more holistically now, more comprehensively, think of what the blood of Christ, the atoning work of Jesus Christ accomplished. It is the way to be reconciled to God. He made the way. He accomplished it. It's the way to be right with the other men and people in the earth. Reconciliation is that massive. Peace, yes, peace has been obtained. But reconciliation is about relationship. It's about a unity or a connection, a life, true life connection to our Father, our Savior, and the Spirit of God in us. It's living it. It's knowing it. It's sharing it. It's experiencing it with others. It's seeing this world properly. We don't worship the world. We worship the Creator of the world. But His creation even declares His greatness, His loving sacrifice. So saints, think on reconciliation this week. Peace, reconciliation. What a truth. What a reality. Jesus Christ reconciled all things and earth and heaven. Wow. Next time, He takes this reconciliation right at us. Look at verse 21, and you. Now we'll go to us. We'll go to our friends and family that are not in Christ. And you, that needed to be reconciled. Well, full atonement, can it be? What a Savior. Let me pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, it's awesome. Lord, it's so big, so sweeping here, what You're saying through Paul. It's overwhelming. Lord, we want to know it more. We want to understand it. But we thank You, Lord, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, You reconciled all things unto Yourself, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. All things are for Him, to Him, and by Him. Thank You, Lord, for such a salvation, such a Savior. What a Redeemer. What a King. What a Savior we have. So in all things here, in our body, in our church, in our people, Lord, may we walk in this truth of reconciliation. May we have the right heart and walk in the reality of being right with one another, being united, being together, being right with God. May we love others outside that are sinners. May we have the mind of Christ, loving them, having the right spirit. Lord, thank You for the reconciling love of Jesus Christ. Blessed be Your name. Amen.
announcements. Prayer meeting is in Denton this week and in the West. And there won't be, there was going to be a meeting today briefly about the fellowship conference, but we're not going to have that this week. So that'll be forthcoming. And we've got some experience behind us now. So it's not like we have to relearn a lot of things. But anyone have anything to share or announce? Yes, Dave. Anyone else? Okay, well, we're going to break down, move the chairs, set up tables, and enjoy lunch. You're all welcome to stay. It is this.